Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man of War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I want to speak on this subject this morning, the word of the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17 and 18, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross," and the word preaching there is usually translated the word of the cross, the Greek word logos, the logos, the word of the cross, "is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now let's consider what Paul is saying. He says in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, is Paul saying baptism is no longer in effect? No. If I believe, I am to confess Christ in believer's baptism. Does baptism have any saving efficacy? No. Going down under the water and coming up is not what washes away sin, nor is someone regenerated by doing that. It is an ordinance, nothing more. It has no saving efficacy. Does that mean it's not important? No, it's the believer's confession of Christ. But Paul said, "I didn't come to baptize people." Now, when he says that, he says, "My purpose is not to see results." Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to see people saved or he's indifferent about that. No, he was greatly desiring people to be saved. And any believer wants men and women to come to know Christ and be saved. But if that's what my purpose is, I'm not going to preach the gospel. Now, look what he says. "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." The only way people will be saved is if the gospel is preached. And my agenda, my desire, is to preach the gospel. I realize I can't save anybody. Only God does that, but He only does that through the preaching of the gospel. And if my great desire is to see people saved rather than to preach the gospel, I will modify the message in order to get more people saved and try to present the gospel and package the gospel in such a way as to make it easier for people to believe. You see that rampant in religion today, these seeker churches and trying to market and package the gospel to get more and more people to believe. And we're not supposed to package the gospel. We preach the naked gospel, not packaged to make it more appealing to men. Look what he says next. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words." And that's what I'm talking about. Packaging the gospel, making it more attractive to the natural man, making it so people can believe easier or keep people from becoming offended. I mean, they're even in church planners. They'll go out and find out what people want to see in a church and what they want in a church, and they'll provide that for them. That is just wrong. I'm not here to plant churches. I'm not here to baptize people, Paul says. I'm here to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, trying to add something to make it easier to believe, because all that does is make the cross of Christ of none effect. You see, whenever somebody tries to dress up the message of the gospel with wisdom of words, all they do is take away the saving power of the gospel. God never uses that. He doesn't use the wisdom of words. Now let's go on reading. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, as I said, the word preaching in verse 18 is the word that's normally translated word, the word of the cross. Now, let me say this before I get into this message. You can believe in the inspiration of Scripture and really believe that. Believe every word is inspired by God. And it is. You ought to believe that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But you can believe in the inspiration of Scripture and be utterly ignorant as to what the message of Scripture is. Now, that's a solemn thing to think about, and I don't want that to happen to me. I don't merely want to stand for the inspiration of Scripture. I want to believe and know and preach the message of the Scripture. And the Scripture has one message, the word of the cross. That's the only message of the Bible, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If I don't see Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I do not see the message of the Bible. Every story, every sacrifice, every feast day, everything written in the Old Testament, everything written in the New Testament has this as its foundation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, Paul speaks here of the word of the cross. Now, this word, word, very important. How do you know what's going on in my mind? The only way you can know what's going on in my mind is by what comes out the words I bring that let you know what is going on in my mind. You can't just read my mind, although my wife thinks she can read my mind quite often, but you can't read my mind. The only way you can know what's in my mind is by the words that come out. Now, Jesus Christ, His gospel, you know, Christ is called the Word of God, the Word of the cross. What's in God's mind is expressed by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no saving knowledge of God. There's no really knowing God where you actually know Him apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are things that you and I can know about God without this knowledge of the cross. I can look at creation, and I can know that somebody all-powerful created this universe. And nobody created Him. He is eternal. You can know that logically. You're born with that knowledge, and you know it intuitively. If someone is an atheist, they were not always atheists. They decided to become atheists because they did not like the implications of God. But it's unreasonable, it's illogical, it's irrational. I know some very intelligent people with higher IQs than I have are atheists, but that position, it's a blind leap of faith. It's a whole lot more blind than believing the gospel and believing God is. It's a blind leap of faith. But so there are things we can know about God. He's very powerful to make this creation. Nobody made Him. He's eternal, His eternal power in Godhead. We can know those things about God, but we can't know God personally apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's just no saving knowledge of God apart from this word or this doctrine of the cross. The cross is the whole counsel of God. Now, Let me tell you three things real briefly about the cross before I go on. The cross of Christ, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the cross of Christ is God's eternal purpose. Secondly, the cross of Christ is God's revelation of Himself. And thirdly, the cross of Christ is my, or and anybody else who is saved, the cross of Christ is the believer's salvation. Now, the cross of Christ is God's eternal purpose. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, speaks of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a creation, before there were stars or moon or the sun, there was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What happened in eternity past? The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, God created the universe, so the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world would be slain in time. That's why this world was created, for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why did the fall take place? Could God have prevented it? Of course He could have prevented it, but He didn't. Why? It's because it's part of His purpose, for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's eternal purpose is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. His eternal purpose is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now somebody says, why? Well, here is the second statement I'd like to make with regard to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's revelation of Himself. We can't really know what God's like apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's revelation of Himself. Now, in this same chapter, in verse 23, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. I love the simplicity of that. It's vast, it's enormous, it's glorious, but it's so simple. We preach Christ crucified. That's our message. Unto the Jews, the religious people, a stumbling block. They find it scandalous. They can't believe that. To the Greeks, the non-religious people, why, that's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. Now, he names at this time two of God's attributes that are manifest in the preaching of Christ crucified: God's omnipotence, His power, and God's omniscience, His wisdom. Every attribute of God is displayed in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ: His justice, His independence, His sovereignty, His holiness, His love, His grace, His mercy, His hatred of sin. Just go on and on. Every attribute. This is God's revelation of Himself. The cross is the most God-like thing God ever did, because He made known to us who He is through the cross. But these two attributes that Paul named, the power and wisdom of God. Now, I'm a sinner. I am guilty before God. I've broken every one of His laws. I am guilty before God. You are too. I am a sinner. God is just. God will not let sin go unpunished. God is absolutely just. He's no respecter of persons. He's not going to give people different standards. He's absolutely just. And He Himself said, I will by no means clear the guilty. If God ever sees you as guilty, you will not be cleared. Now, how in the world can a sinner be saved if that's the case? God is utterly just. Well, God's wisdom made a way for Him to be just and justify someone who is unjust. His wisdom made a way. It's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his power executed it to where God not only made the way to be just and justify the ungodly, he did so. In justice, he justifies the ungodly. Now, that is known only through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what was going on the cross? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He could say to his detractors, "Which of you can convince me of sin?" He knew no sin. He kept God's law perfectly. I love to think of his life. And yet, he is nailed to a cross and is forsaken by his Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He died a horrible, painful death, and he actually died. Now, why would this good man die? Because the sins of God's people became his. The Lord lifted the sins of his people off of them and placed them on his blessed Son. You say, can God do that? Yes, he can. He's God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. He took the sins of his people and placed them upon his Son, and his Son became guilty of those sins. And the wrath of God killed him. That's what I deserve, but it became what he deserved. Now, remember that righteousness that he worked out, that perfect righteousness? His righteousness, just as truly as my sin became his sin, his righteousness becomes my righteousness. And God is just to justify everybody that Christ died for. They actually deserve to be saved because they have no sin. They have his righteousness. Now, only God is wise enough to make this way, and only God's power could execute this to where he could actually take the sins of his people, make Christ to bear him. He bore our sins, the scripture says, in his own body on the tree, and take his righteousness and make it ours. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, this is how the cross is my salvation, the cross of Christ. You know, people saying, "I'll cherish the old rugged cross." Not me. I cherish the Christ of the cross and what he accomplished on the cross. He is my salvation. When he bowed his head and said, "It is finished," everybody he died for was saved. Now, when you talk about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must talk about the accomplishments of his cross. In Luke chapter 9, verse 31, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord was transfigured before the disciples, and they saw his face shining like the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And two men appeared to him at that time, Moses and Elijah. Now remember, Peter and James and John were there. And two men appear to the Lord Jesus Christ while he's in this state of glory. And the scripture says they were speaking about something. They spake of the decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, when you look in the obituaries, you read about everybody's accomplishments quite often. Sometimes there'll be columns and columns of all the things they have done in this life and so on. And I want to eulogize people when they die and so speak well of them. I'm not being critical about that, but why did they die? They died because they were sinners. And Their death was certainly not an accomplishment. Nobody accomplishes anything by its death. All he shows is that he was a sinner. If you die, there's one reason you're going to die: sin. The reason I'm going to die is because of sin. There's no accomplishment in my death. It just shows the fact that I'm a sinner. But when he died, he accomplished something. Well, what did he accomplish? Well, first of all, his death was the ultimate act of obedience to his Father. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was the ultimate act of obedience. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever this does to me, I'm trusting you. This is the ultimate act of obedience. What did he accomplish in his death? Well, he accomplished the full glorification of his Father. He said, Father, the hour's come, speaking of his death, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He glorified every attribute of God in his death. He glorified his love for sinners, but he also glorified his justice. He's not going to let sin go unpunished. He glorified his power in putting away sin. Whatever attribute you want to speak of is glorified. The glory of God was accomplished by what Christ did on Calvary's tree. Like I've already said, it's the most godlike thing God's ever done. But look what his death did for us. I'd like to read a passage from Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace. Now, when someone says, have you made your peace with God? The answer is no. Somebody comes up and says, have you made your peace with God? No, no. He made my peace with God. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes or before times alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. This is what he did. He reconciled you. He took away every reason. If you're a believer, he took away every reason for God's anger. He brought you to God. He reconciled. Listen to this. In the body of his flesh through death to present you. Now, this is not everybody. This is believers. This is the elect. This is who Christ died for. Now, listen to this glorious presentation that the cross of Christ has made. He presents you, every believer, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That's what Christ accomplished by his death. He's made every believer in the very sight of God. And God sees things as they really are. How he sees things, me and you don't see things as they are, he does. Every believer, because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, is now holy, unblameable, nothing to be brought to my charge, unreprovable in his sight. It's called justification. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Every believer is justified by what he did. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, we read of the offense of the cross. The offense of the cross. And it's where we get the word scandal from. The scandal of the cross. And you know, to men, this message is scandalous. You mean Christ, the scripture says he was made a curse for us. He bore the full curse of God, that he was made sin. All my sin became his sin. Why, that's scandalous. Why, it is hard to think about, isn't it? But it's so. It's the only hope any sinner has. The offense of the cross. You see, the cross is an offensive message to the natural man. offends men's sense of self-righteousness because it says they don't have any. It offends their pride because it says they don't have anything to be proud about. Salvation by grace. It offends their sense of self-determination because it says you don't determine anything. It's up to God as to whether or not you'll be saved. You're in His sovereign hands and He can do with you whatever He's pleased to do. It offends men's love of self because it calls upon men to deny self, take up their cross and follow Him. Now, let me show you what Paul thought of this message of Christ crucified. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and this is shortly after he made this statement that we're reading, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you." Now, do you hear what that's saying? I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is all I'm going to preach. Now, somebody says, the Bible's a big book. There are a lot of other things in the Bible you could preach on and not preach the cross. Well, if you do, you've missed the meaning. The only thing in the Bible is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing in the Bible. Well, there's a lot of other things in the Bible. No, there's not. Everything in the Bible points to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if I don't see that, I don't see the meaning. Paul said, I'm not going to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul didn't glory in the fact that he was an apostle. He didn't glory in the fact that he was used by God to write Scripture. He didn't glory in the fact that he was used by God to found churches. I mean, what a man Paul was that he was used in such a miraculous way. But he said, God forbid that I should glory in any of that. All I glory in, all I have confidence in, all I rejoice in is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that I can be saved is by Jesus Christ going to the cross, putting away my sin, giving me His righteousness, saving me by His grace. There is no other hope. There is no other message. The cross is the declaration of who God is. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make the cross known to you.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nyberg@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.